Welcome to the Canyon Ridge Baptist Church podcast. In this message, listen in and learn deep truths from God's Word.
Well, I have been blessed like you by the preaching of Pastor Anthony King, and we recorded a couple of our pastor retreat sessions, but just hearing he and Ferg talk, and Ferg's a little bit quieter than Anthony is. How he was up here is kind of how he is, but man, when he says something, it's like the old commercial when we were kids, Monday Night Football commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When Fergus Tinnell talks, unless he's making fun of your pastor, which is always ungodly, wrong, and sinful. But when Fergus Tinnell talks, people listen. And he didn't say near as much as maybe Anthony and I had the opportunity to say because of his personality. But when he spoke, it was always a very, very rich, theologically sound, spiritual perspective that just helped everybody in the room. And then Pastor Anthony King, man alive, every pastor there, this is so outside of his comfort zone. He's like, I don't want to speak to people. I don't want to be out of Honolulu. I don't want to not be at Huikala Baptist Church, which is how a pastor should feel. It's how I feel. And he was such an incredible blessing to the pastors. And I honestly prayed, because this is what I thought, like, we're going to come into Thursday night and he's going to so have given himself that he'll be a little bit fatigued. And if he was, I'll tell you what, I didn't notice it. I'll tell you that for sure. He was on point. Every message was just fantastic. I thought your message on Thursday night, just speaking as your friend publicly, as they used to say back in the 50s, going out on the airwaves all over the world. I thought your message on Thursday night, if not the best, top two or three messages that our men have ever heard at a men's retreat. And I've been to every one of them, and it was just so helpful, so encouraging. And I'm excited to hear you preach tonight, not just because I'm your friend, but I love the preached word of God. So Canyon Ridge, would you welcome one last time, this time, our friend Pastor Anthony King.
Good evening, Canyon Ridge. It's a blessing to be with you here one final time here tonight. And so, every time I'm here, I'm encouraged, I'm blessed, primarily just because of your faithfulness. I see the same faces. Again, I'm only here maybe every 4 or 5 years, but I see the same people serving. But then I see new people that are here. Hey, I've only been here for a couple of months. Hey, I got saved here. I got baptized here. Hey, I'm growing here. And that's just such a blessing and encouragement to me. And so delighted to be back with you again tonight. Fergus, I've just been so blessed and moved, and my wife has too. We talked about it all afternoon. Just your heart for kids, the kids that are almost throwaway kids in our society today, forgotten kids. And so on behalf of Huikala Baptist Church, we'd like to give $5,000 towards your ministry home. I haven't even talked to our deacons about it, but I assume that I have the ability to do that. But I know I can do at least $5,000, but Angela and I personally want to also do $5,000 on top of that as well. So we love you, brother. I'm so proud of you. So keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm not really supposed to be here tonight. I don't do stuff like this. I never travel. I never speak at conferences. I never speak at other churches. This is just not my jam. Like Pastor said, this is way outside of my comfort zone. He called me last summer and he says, hey, just wanted to double check and make sure that you're still on board for our men's conference and at Canyon Ridge the following Sunday. And I said, no, like, absolutely not. I'm not on, like, I don't know where you thought that I was going to do that, but I'm not going to do it. And he was just like, bro, you gave me your word. I did not give you my word. He said, yes, you did. And if you're not going to be good to your word, I need to know that right now so I can get somebody else lined up for next year. You know how he's intense like that, right? Or maybe you don't, you know? And I was just like, man, this is the first time I'm hearing about this, and I know for a fact I would never commit to coming to your men's conference and preaching at Canyon Ridge on a Sunday, man. I'm staring at an email from you right now. Forward it to me, because I didn't send it. Like, I don't know if I got hacked or whatever, but like, I'm not coming to your conference, and I'm definitely not preaching at Canyon Ridge. He forwards me an email from 2021. And I'm reading the email. After everything that Canyon Ridge has done for you, after being the friend that I have been to you, I feel that you owe it to me and the Canyon Ridge Baptist Church family to preach our men's conference and at Canyon Ridge the following Sunday. Can I count on you? I replied back, sure. 4 years later, he calls that one in. And so here I am. I'm good to my word, man. But just remember this, Canyon Ridge, your pastor keeps the receipts, okay? Man, that guy. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 tonight, if you would. Philippians chapter number 2. I love this church. And I'm just not just saying this because I'm here. This is one of the greatest churches in America, I believe. You're part of something special. You're part of a move of God. You're part of something really, really unique. This church is not like other churches in the world, in the United States, and definitely not in San Diego. And tonight, I want to help you break down what that is. I see it from the outside. Who we call is the very same. But I want to talk to you tonight about creating a culture of grace. What makes Canyon Ridge so unique? What makes it so special? We'll take a look at that. We'll break it down tonight. Tonight's message will not be a deep dive exposition of Philippians 2. I'm not going to talk about how Paul wrote it and while he was in prison, how he used to pastor the church at Philippi and how they've been good to him. He's writing him a letter. I'm not going to go through all that tonight, okay? You got your pastor for that. I'm just going to help you to understand what does this mean for you and I and how we do the body of Christ. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He's like, hey guys, if we're all on the same team here, let's make sure that we have the same mind. Let's make sure that we have the same heart. And what that would do for me, Paul says, is that would give me joy. Amen. So Paul's writing to them as a spiritual authority in their life. And he says, hey guys, if we can kind of all be on the same page with this, this would make me really happy. It would make the Lord really happy. Verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know what your first Sunday at Canyon Ridge was like. I love hearing stories about people who found them at the Kearney Rec Center. Man, if that was your first experience at Canyon Ridge, man, you look around and you're like, whoa, look at what God's done. But I imagine you're like most people. Maybe you heard from a friend, maybe you found it on a website, maybe you got a recommendation from somebody and you pulled up in the parking lot somewhere, whether it was the rec center or whether it was here. And you made that long walk from the parking lot to the front door. And you got a lot of things going around on your brain, don't you? And you're looking around, you're like, I'm wearing shorts. Is anybody else wearing shorts, right? I see a guy in a tie. Maybe I should have worn a tie. I see guys in jackets. I don't even own a jacket. Maybe I'll have to go to the thrift store and get a jacket. You begin looking at other ladies. Oh, man, she's got on heels, but that lady over there has on flats. And you begin running through all these things in your mind. And you're asking yourself this question. Do I fit in here? Is this a place for me? Maybe you came to Canyon Ridge and you got, man, a sleeve of tattoos. Maybe you got an earring. Maybe you got longer hair than what you see on other people. And you begin to ask yourself the question, do I fit in here? I talked about this morning how a man that I led to Christ came back the next Sunday with a jacket, tie, pocket square, and a big old Bible because he thought that's what Christians look like. But Christians look like broken people like you and I. They just found Jesus. So you made that maybe in the double doors there and you were greeted by somebody, or maybe you weren't. You found a seat and maybe you felt alone, you felt isolated. Maybe somebody came by your seat and introduced themselves and talked to you. Do you remember that first Sunday experience? All of us have it. And you were trying to figure out, is this the place for me? Maybe you came with a lot of emotional baggage. If you're like anybody that comes to Huikala, man, it's a bad breakup, a marriage that's on the rocks, kids that are rebelling and in sin, lost your job, trying to figure out which end is up, can't pay your bills, emotionally unstable, maybe suicidal. And you're just thinking like, man, I don't know if this is the place, but I need help. Let me just say, that's the whole reason that the local church exists. That's it. That's what we're here for. And I'm not preaching to you anything tonight that's going to be new that you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I'm going to reinforce to you why Canyon Ridge is the way that it is. Why Canyon Ridge has a culture of grace. Why you were able to find a place that fit here, not because of the clothes that you wore, what you do for work, or where you went to college, or anything along those lines, but because the grace of Jesus Christ is at work in his local church. If hurting people are going to get help, this is the place. To the guy who's struggling with depression, to the woman with crippling anxiety, to the marriage that's about to fall apart, to the dad that's at his wit's end with his kids and doesn't know what to do, to the college student who's tried to sleep around and smoke pot and found that there's no help there. Where can they find it? This is the place. And you would be foolish to think that those types of people didn't come to Canyon Ridge in the last 60 days. I guarantee you they did. You see, the problem is we think that many people are like us. We think everybody's like us. We think that everybody's working with the same knowledge set that we have. They come to church because they want to worship Jesus. They come to church because they're Christians who love the Lord. They come to church because they love Bible preaching. They come to church because they want to corporately worship together with the body of Christ. Chances are the majority of folks that come to Canyon Ridge are not coming for any of those reasons whatsoever. They're coming because they're hurting and they need help. And if this isn't the place, where do you go? If you can't get help here, where can you get help? To the man who's struggling with alcohol, if the local church doesn't have the answer, where do you go? An AA meeting? You check yourself into a treatment center? For the marriage that's falling apart, what do? You just look up in the on the internet a list of places that take your insurance and go talk to a marriage counselor and hope that it works out? Or is the church the place of that grace that you're searching for? So while we as mature Christians gather together with the body of Christ for corporate worship and to be challenged and sharpened and equipped from the Word of God, a lot of people are coming here because they need help, because they're hurting. And some of them, this is the last effort that they're going to give, because if this doesn't work, they don't know what else will. Some people will come because they've been running from God. Maybe they got saved as a child or as a teenager, and they've ran out into the world, and they've sowed their wild oats, and then they've reaped the harvest of those, and they need help, and they come back to the one place that they know that they can find it, and that's Jesus. Are we the church that's ready to connect with those people? Are we the church that's ready to receive those people? I'll tell you this, there's churches out there that are ready to receive people like them. Oh, I'm ready to receive, you know, a guy in his mid-40s with a wife and two or three kids that does really well, very professional, well-spoken, you know, looks a lot like me, acts a lot like me. I can receive that, but anybody can do that. Look, there's churches all over San Diego that are looking for guys that are doing well in life who can come along and just throw some dollars in the plate. And you can be nameless and faceless. You don't ever have to meet anybody or make any connections. You can come and sing some songs and go home. But is that really the body of Christ? Or are we called to bear one another's burdens? Are we called to fulfill the law of Christ? If so, then we're going to have to be a little bit different than your average megachurch. We're going to have to be a little bit different than the church where people can just come and go and not receive any type of connection whatsoever. I tell people, if you want to sit in the back of a church service and be left alone and do your thing and leave, Huikala Baptist Church in Honolulu, Hawaii is the worst place in the world to hide out. It's like, We had a guy who came on, he was on sabbatical, he was a pastor, and he came to our church on sabbatical, and he said, he caught me at our greeting time, and he said, you're the pastor? I said, yes, I am. He says, I just want to give you some feedback. Man, I'm always open for that. He said, from the time that I parked my car on the sidewalk to the time I sat down in my seat, he said, I counted, I had 12 interactions with different people before I ever even made it to my seat. He says, this has to be the friendliest church I've ever been to in my life. You know what that is? That's a church that's ready to receive people with grace. And we got to be that church, folks. We got to. And again, I this is not a rebuke that like you guys need to get your act together. I'm encouraging you because this is why we do what we do. And you'll find that as you begin to share your story and as you begin to connect with other people, it draws them closer and closer in, because here's the thing, authenticity breeds transparency. One of the greatest gifts that God has given you to reach other people, you got to hear this. The greatest gift that God has given you to reach other people is your story of what Jesus has done in your life. Because somebody walks in and is just thinking like, man, I'm a mess. Like, I'm drinking way too much. My wife hates my guts. My kids hate my guts. And like, I'm sure I'm the only person in this entire room who's ever felt that way in my life. And somebody's going to come along and say, hey, man, I know exactly where you're coming from. My marriage was a wreck, too. We found Jesus and we found this church, and we're on a much better path. We're not perfect, but we're headed that direction. And that story pulls somebody in. Your story, and again, you might not have a story of addiction. You might not have a story of a terrible marriage. But you have a story of doing your life your own way and being without Jesus and making a wreck of your life on your own due to your own selfishness. And when you turn it over to Jesus, God began to bring peace into your life that you never had before. That couple that got saved this morning, I was so pumped to be able to talk to them. And I said, you don't realize it now, but you just made a decision that will change the rest of your life forever and your eternity. Like, you don't get it right now. And I said, but if you stay on this path, I said, you won't recognize yourself in 12 months and your life will be changed so much better for the better. Yeah. And you don't get it right now, but I get it. And I want to encourage you just to stay after it. And many of you have stories that would bless somebody like that. And you being able to share your story helps them. You take the woman at the well. What did she do? She met Jesus, but then she went back and told the city, hey, I think I found the Christ. The Son of God, the Messiah, I found him. Come and see. Here's what the Bible says. That some believed because of Jesus' word, but many believed because of her word. Yeah. They took her testimony and they're like, okay, this is it. I believe too. And so your story, your authenticity breeds transparency. Author David Pallison said this in one of his books, and I found this so incredibly helpful in my own life. My deepest hope for you is that in both your personal life and your ministry to others, you would be unafraid to be publicly weak as the doorway to the strength of God himself. Amen. That you would be able to be publicly weak as the doorway to the strength of God himself. Isn't that something that people would see my life and say, I want what he's got. Oh, it's not my strength. It's not because I've figured life out. It's because I've met someone who's changed me from the inside out and blessed me in ways that I can't even fathom. Your story has power. Don't ever be ashamed of it. Because here's the thing. Some of us have things in our life that we're not proud of. Some of us have past that we wish didn't happen. Some of us want that part of our story to be locked away, never to be spoken of again. But I want to encourage you with something tonight. Grace removes shame. Hey man, you don't have to be ashamed of that. That's your story. And that's the story of God's grace. That's the story of who you used to be, but you're not that person anymore. You're a new creature in Christ. You've been redeemed. And grace has the way of removing shame. No doubt there's been people who have come into this church before with visible tattoos, and they think to themselves, I should have worn a jacket, or I'm going to pull my sleeves down a little bit further because I don't want people to see. Let me just say this. Don't ever be ashamed of your story of grace. Now, I'm not talking about you should wear, you know, sleeveless shirts as you usher so that everybody can see the tattoos that you got or anything like that. And again, I'm just going to be transparent with you. I have four tattoos that I got when I was, I'm just going to share this with you too. And again, you get mad at me and that's fine because I'm leaving tomorrow and I don't care. All four of the tattoos that I got was at an emotionally low point where I was far away from God and grasping for identity in something. All of them. Emotionally low point, far away from God, looking for identity in something. And so, again, if you were to see my tattoos, I'm not ashamed of them. It's my story. Hey, let me tell you about what happened with that. Now, again, I want to be really, really clear. We never glorify our past life of sin. Amen. Oh, man, I was in the Philippines, and I was like 8 cases of beer deep, you know, and I couldn't even stand up, and I got this tattoo of this lady here, and man, I got it. No, we don't do stuff like that. Hey, this right here, I used to be ashamed of this because of the way that I was living when I got it. But this is just a story of God's redemption in my life. And I'm not ashamed of that because I'm not that person anymore. Amen. This is a permanent reminder of who I used to be in my own self and living for the world and the flesh and the devil. But this is also a reminder to me that I am no longer bound by my past, but I'm freed by the grace of God. Amen. So again, don't be ashamed of your story. Some of you ladies, no doubt in the size of a church like this, I don't know anybody's story, and so I'm just throwing this out. In the size of a church like this, no doubt there are some women who have had abortions in this room. And I know that there's a sense of shame with that. We had a couple that had gotten saved at Huikala. They were getting baptized, and we had people record a video telling the story of how they got saved. And this lady, she's sweet and godly as the day is long. She's a teeny tiny little gal with glasses, and she got a big, strong husband who's a firefighter and an EMT, and they were getting baptized. And she said, you know, I was, before I'd gotten saved, you know, I had, David and I had been living together, and I'd gotten pregnant, and we'd had an abortion, and somebody sent me a YouTube video by Ray Comfort on abortion. I watched it till the very end, and I didn't even know that abortion was a sin. I didn't even know. And she goes, and I heard that that was a sin and that I'd sinned before God. And she said, the end of the video had the gospel on it. And that's when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. Look, nobody's sitting there like, oh, did you hear her say that she had gotten an abortion? Nobody said that. Everybody's just like, yes, that's the grace of God right there. And you know what that did? That emboldened some ladies in our church to be able to say like, hey, pastor, I want to talk with you about my story just so you know. Another lady came up to me and she said, if my story could help another woman in our church, I would love to talk with her about the time that I had an abortion. You know what that is? That's the grace of God removing shame off of you. Some of you maybe had children out of wedlock when somebody asks you how long you've been married and you think to yourself, oh, they're doing the math between when we got married and the age of our kids and they're going to figure it out. Hey, don't be ashamed of your story. It's your story. It's not who you are, it's who you were. And so when people come in, maybe with a load of guilt and shame, let's introduce them to the grace of God that lifts that off of their shoulders. Hey, you don't have to be ashamed of your past. Man, if you're a drug addict, you were a drug addict. You're no longer in Jesus Christ. You're a new creature. Man, you struggle with pornography, you struggle with alcohol, you're currently struggling with those things. That's okay. Here's what I always tell people. If you've got a problem, fix it. Let me just say this. There's no shame in having a problem that you're going to fix. There's a lot of shame in having a problem that you don't care it's a problem. And so I know how much your pastor loves musical references, so I'll say this. If you got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. You clap because you know it's right up your pastor's alley. It's right up your pastor's alley. No, look, I mean serious here though. Like, right, hey, if you got a problem, let's just fix it. Shame keeps you stuck. Shame keeps you spiraling in your sin. Shame is not of God. It's a trick of the enemy to keep you stuck. Look, I'm super pumped about your guys' Crossroads program that you got coming up. We've done it twice at Huikala to incredible results. We got, man, a dozen or so guys that are free from pornography for a couple of years now where they were stuck and they didn't see any hope. But that initial sign up was kind of hard for people. We had it on a Tuesday night, but there was also a small group that met on a Tuesday night. And it wasn't like, use the back door if you go to the Crossroads group. You know, no. And I said, hey, look, same thing your pastor told you. This is not a walk of shame. This is a walk of victory. And God's grace wants to remove that shame. Man, if you're struggling with pornography, don't be ashamed of saying, like, hey, man, I'm struggling. I just need some help. That's a win. Someone comes in here that's struggling with sin. Hey, let me introduce you to the grace of God that can help you. When we look at the love of God, which we sang about so masterfully through almost every single song that we sang, the love of God. The way that God loves us is God loves us unconditionally, and that's how we get to love other people as well. Man, I really don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've been involved in. I don't care what your criminal record is. I don't care what type of home you grew up in. I love you, and I'm for you. Do you know how hard it is as an adult to find somebody that loves you and is for you? Where do you get stuff like that? You get it at work? I don't know what kind of job you work, but like every job I've ever worked, it's like, hey, you perform, we'll give you a paycheck. You stop performing, you don't get your paycheck, right? But like, no, I'm for you because God is for you. I love you because God loves you. Where else is there a place like that? There isn't. That's why we have the local New Testament church. So when people walk in those doors and maybe they're pulling their sleeves down a little bit, maybe they're wishing that they hadn't worn shorts this Sunday. Maybe they're sitting in the back because they don't want to have the opportunity to get out as soon as they can. Would you do them what Jesus did for you and just love them? Amen. Unconditionally? Well, I don't know them. That's the great part about it. You don't have to know people to love people. And maybe, here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I say this every time I say this, people are like, no, you're not telling the truth. I'm an introvert by nature. Like, I don't like talking with people. I don't like interacting with people. Like, I'm standing in line at Starbucks or the DMV, and somebody's like, man, it's hot outside, isn't it? And I, like, turn the other way and act like I don't hear them. Like, I'm not trying to engage in conversation with anybody, right? Like, just leave me alone. Man, you see me in the airport and I'm not with my family, I got headphones in, like, do not talk to me. Man, I get on a plane and buckle up, but headphones in immediately, like, please don't bother me. I just don't like it. But when it comes to the body of Christ, I have to go against my nature to be what God's called me to be. I got to be willing to step outside of my skin and get really, really uncomfortable to love people well. That's right. And again, I'm just telling you this, being here at Canyon Ridge, men's conference, the pastor's retreat that we had, man, way out of my comfort zone, way out of my comfort zone. I didn't enjoy it at all in my flesh. But I wanted to bless people. I wanted to help people. And if God could use me to strengthen a marriage or strengthen a home or strengthen a guy's walk with God, I'm up for that. I'm willing to get a little bit uncomfortable to help that. Are you willing to get a little bit uncomfortable to help love someone well? Are you willing to step outside and say, hey, I don't know you, but I love you and I care about you and I'm for you? Are you willing to make people feel at home here? How do we do that well? How do we love other people well? What we're going to do is we're going to continually guide them back to the Word of God. Man, it was a joy of my heart to see Apollo and Megan sitting with Zane. Zane's got his Bible open just talking about Jesus. Man, I couldn't, like, I was back there, man, I was praying my guts out for Zane. Like, God, give him words. I don't know who these people are, but give them open hearts to receive. And I couldn't wait until they finished talking because I had to know what happened, right? Like, here's some people who came to Canyon Ridge for the very first time, and they're hearing the gospel of Jesus. Like, what happened? Like, I gotta know. Why? Because, man, the only hope that you have is Jesus. I gotta guide you back to the Word. Look, friendships and feelings of belonging, that's great, but people gotta get the gospel. And I want to ask you this, to be ready personally for you, to be ready to have a church like this at Canyon Ridge. If your pastor grabbed you by the shoulder tonight and say, hey, could you go share the gospel with this guy over here? Would you be ready?
Amen. Yeah. That's good.
Hey, Sally, could you grab your Bible and go share the gospel with this single mom over here? Would you be ready? I mean, I know we got a prayer team. I know we got people at the altar that are ready to catch people. I'm talking about like you're out in the parking lot and somebody says, yeah, I don't really know why I came today. My marriage is a wreck. My life is a wreck. And I don't even know why I showed up here. Would you be ready to say like, hey, talk to me about your relationship with Jesus. Hey, the pastor in there talked about eternal life and heaven and hell. Are you ready for that? Hey, we'll get to your marriage in a minute. But before that, you need to know for sure. Are you ready for conversations like that? If you're not, let me tell you this, your pastor wants to equip you and wants to give you the tools to be ready. But here's another part too. You might be ready up here in your head, like you know the verses. Maybe I know the Romans Road. Hey, I can grab a track off the back table. I can lead people through the verses. But is your heart and life ready for something like that? Are you spiritually prepared to do battle? I only watched a couple of news clips about the Secretary of War. We got a Secretary of War now, right? Talking about how we're not having any more fat troops. Like, man, get skinny, get fit, get out, because we're fighting wars, right? And I kind of chuckle at that because I don't know what it's like in San Diego. But, like, you go to Hawaii and there's that guys like this that are, like, busting out of there. You know? And it's like, bro, are you a reservist or what, man? Because, like, I don't... Like, you're not fitting through a bulkhead on a ship, that's for sure. Like, let's put butter around you and, like, push you through, you know? What the world? But it doesn't put a lot of confidence in the war-fighting abilities of Americans, right? But here's the thing. You're going to stop laughing in just a minute. I'll give you a minute to get it out. Some of you are fat, overweight Christians that aren't ready to go to war.
That's right. Yes.
And again, here's the thing. Like, you're like, you're not going to talk to me that way. I don't even know who you are. I don't know your story. I'm not making any accusations. I'm not pointing any fingers at it. You know, it's you. No, I don't know. I'm just know if you're like Huikala, you got some fat, overweight, out of shape, out of regs Christians that aren't ready to do battle. If that's you, get it together, because somebody's walking through the front door of Canyon Ridge next week that needs you to be on your A game. So, if you know the Word, guide people to the Word. Next, use your words wisely. If Canyon Ridge is anything like Huikala, there will be people who come to this church, they're faithful a while, and then they fall off. You might see them out in town. They might even come back to church. Use your words wisely. Well, 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 look what the devil blew in. Oh, that's helpful. We're like, man, you haven't been to church in 6 months, bro. Where you been? People automatically think to themselves, stay with me. You got to hear this, okay? Because this is deep. The prodigal son, as he comes back to the father, what's he doing? He's rehearsing a story in his mind of all the excuses he can give for why he's coming back. When somebody is out of church for a while and their life falls apart and they think to themselves, if there's one place that I can be loved and cared for, it's Canyon Ridge, and I'm going to go back this Sunday. In their mind, they're rehearsing a story that they're going to tell when they walk through the front door. Man, I was taking some classes online. It was really busy. Work was really busy. The kids got sick. Me and my mother-in-law, she moved back to Texas. And they got this big, huge story that they're waiting to give. But when you see them and you run to them and you give them a hug like the father did and you say, hey, it's so good to see you. man, grab your stuff, come sit with me. Well, they never got to their story. Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't need a story. I just want you to know that you're home. I just want you to know that you're loved. This should be the easiest place in the world for people to come back to Jesus. You need to make it, remove every single barrier that would keep somebody from coming back. So use your words wisely. I saw there was a couple who came to Huikala really faithfully for probably 9 months or so. This was, man, probably 8 years ago. And then one Sunday, they just fell off. Wouldn't return my phone calls, text messages, emails. I'd see him with his kids at the park, and I'd try to talk to him. He wouldn't really, kind of stiff-armed me and just totally avoided me. Other people in our church tried to reach out to him. Hey, what happened to Johnny and his wife? Man, I don't know. They just stopped coming. So weird. Did I do anything wrong? They had a daughter. And a couple of years later, after they had left our church, I'm walking through Whole Foods, and I circle the end of the Whole Foods, and our carts almost hit each other. You can't run from me now. Hey, Ben, how's it going? I went and I gave him a hug. You know why? Because he was expecting, like, well, 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 where have you been, right? No, I went and gave him a hug. I go, man, it is so good to see you. Is your daughter here? Man, she must be huge by now, huh? Man, it's so good to see you. How have you been? I said, I didn't get a chance to talk with you when you left. Are you guys attending church somewhere right now? And he goes, no. No, we haven't been at church since we're in Huikala. I go, man. I said, I want you to know you can always come back to Huikala. I just wanted you to know that. Like, I'm not pressuring or anything like that. I just want you to know, man, you can always come back to Huikala. And he's like, I really appreciate that, Pastor. I do. I gave him a hug. I said, man, Johnny, I love you. And this week I'm going to pray for you and your family. He goes, man, that means so much. 2 years later,
yeah.
Who shows up on a Sunday morning? Johnny and his wife and his daughter. And I went and gave him a hug, and I was just like, bro, it is so good to see you. Oh, man, come on inside. I said, where's your daughter? Oh, my goodness, she is huge. Look at her. Oh, man. And I was like, she's too big for the kids' class now. Like, she gets to go to big people church. Man, that is so good. And other people in our church came up and just surrounded. There's literally a line of people waiting to talk to them when they came back. They came for probably about 3 weeks. And he was leaving church one day, and he gave me a hug. And he goes, do you want to know? Know what? Why we left. If you want to tell me, you can. I honestly don't care. I'm just glad you're back. Now, if I did something to hurt you, I'd want the opportunity to apologize for that. But like, you don't have to explain yourself to me. I'm just glad you're home. And he goes, I want to tell you. Okay. He goes, my wife and I were living 1 foot in with Jesus and 1 foot in the world. And as we came and we heard the gospel week after week, and we heard Bible preaching week after week, we realized that that's not an option. We had to pick a side. And he goes, because I failed my family in leading, we picked the side of the world. And he goes, and we paid the price for it. And he goes, and God got a hold of our hearts. And my wife is like, babe, we need to go back to church. And he goes, I know where we can go. And he goes, and we came back. Good for you. And Johnny and his wife and his daughter, man, they were who we call it, ended up moving to the mainland. But I love the fact that when they thought to themselves, where can we go? The first place they thought of was who we call it. And when they came back, he says, and we received a welcome back that took us by surprise. The grace of God always surprises you, doesn't it? And so we've got to create a culture like that. I know that you do, but I just need to remind you what has made Canyon Ridge great, you need to continue to do to keep Canyon Ridge great. So use your words wisely. I'm going to give you four ways you can use your words wisely, and then we're done here tonight. Again, not an exposition of the scripture, just practical truth to help you to be the church that Jesus has called you to be. When you talk with people, I want to encourage you to say these four things. Number one, how are you really doing? We all at our greeting time, hey, good to see you. Good to see you. Hey, how's it going? Good. How about you? Good. would you slow down just a little bit? Especially with people that you know are having a tough time. And maybe for guys, this is really awkward, but you put your hand on the shoulder of another dude and you say, hey man, how you really doing? Now most guys will be terrified by something like that, right? Most guys will be like, whoa, don't touch me, you know? But if we go back up in our notes here and we find transparency breeds authenticity, you've got a relationship with a brother that you've been open and transparent with, he's gonna be a lot more apt to be open and transparent with you. Hey man, how you really doing? Hey, you know that thing you've been going through? It's gotta be hard. How are you holding up? How are things going? Most people don't have somebody they can really be honest with. I read somewhere that the average man has two friends. Two. Ladies have considerably more. You're more social creatures. But guys, two. And here's the thing that I thought about that. For every guy that has four friends, there's a guy who has zero friends.
That's right.
That's how averages work, right?
Yeah.
So the majority of men are widely unsupported. That's why, again, I love your pastor and my philosophy on building men, a network of men that we can lean on and be authentic with. But ladies, you need to do the same thing.
Amen.
Hey, how you really doing? This will give you the opportunity to get one layer deeper than what you currently are. And that's what you want. You want to be deeper in community with one another. How you really doing? Next thing I want you to ask, how can I pray for you this week? If someone is willing to be vulnerable here, you find out what's really on their heart. Now, you also find out here if somebody's just blowing you off. Oh, pray for my family if you would. I'm going to pray for your family this week, and you should. Pray for me. I haven't been speaking kindly to my wife, and I've been convicted of that. Would you pray for me that I could have gracious words towards her? Man, somebody just took their burden and they put part of it on you so that you can bear that with them. Please don't take that lightly. If someone is willing to share that level of vulnerability with you, would you circle back in a week or so and say, hey man, I've been praying for the way that you talk to your wife. How are you doing with that? That's going to show them that you really care. Now, most of us is like, man, I ask five people a week how I can pray for them. You know, I don't know that I can circle back to all of them. It's really easy. You grab your phone and say, remind me in 7 days to check in with John about the way he speaks to his wife.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's not very spirit-led. No, it is. It's just using tools to help you follow the leading of the Spirit. Because, again, how many of us guys are going to remember, oh, yeah, I think it's next Monday I'm supposed to check in with John and how he speaks to his wife. You're going to forget. So write it down. Have a system. Work it out somehow. But if you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, let me just tell you this. You better pray for them. It's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and not pay it. And tell somebody you're going to do something and not do it. How can I pray for you? What's on your heart? And sometimes people are like, oh man, I don't even know. I don't even know what to tell you. Okay, I'm going to pray for God's blessing on you this week and that God would give you wisdom and discernment as you walk with him. Let me just tell you that. That's a good one you can pray for everybody, right? And then again, hey, a week from now, hey man, I just want to let you know that I've been praying for you. That couple that got saved this morning, if they come back to Canyon Ridge next week and there were like three people who walked up to them and says, hey, it is so good to see you, Apollo. I've been praying for you and your wife this week. You know what that would do for them? It would knock their socks off. It would help them to understand the culture of grace that's available in a place like this. The folks that are getting baptized, and next Sunday, Baptism Sunday, let me just say this, if you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. It's a scriptural commandment. Some of you need to get baptized so that you could join the church. Get baptized next Sunday and join the church. It's just a no-brainer. Every person should be a member of a local New Testament church where they're serving and God is using their life. And if you're not doing that, again, I didn't get told to say that. I'm just saying that because I'm a pastor myself. But the folks that are getting baptized, I hope that you won't see them baptize and clap and then split and go to the parking lot and go to Del Taco. Like, seriously, like, hang around. Like, hey, I'm really proud of you for that.
Amen.
You'll never know. For some people to stand in that baptistry and declare their faith in Jesus Christ, you'll never know the guts that it took for them to get up there and do that. Some people are just like, oh man, I'm so excited, this is great, this is amazing. Other people are like, my family might disown me over this. My spouse is not on board with me getting baptized, but I'm gonna do it anyways. Hey, I wanna walk with Jesus, but I'm scared because I don't have a track record of faithfulness. For some people, it's a big deal. Would you not just say like, hey, congratulations, walk by and say like, hey, congratulations on getting baptized today. You know what would be super special for them too? And I'm not saying you have to do this with everybody that gets baptized, but like, you know, hey, Mike, congratulations on getting baptized today. Would you mind if I took 15 seconds and prayed for you right here? God, would you pray for Mike and this decision he's made to walk with you and help him to always remember this day as a day that he committed publicly to walking with you. Help us to be a church that loves him and encourages him. Amen. You know what that would do for people? I'm talking about creating a culture of grace where we are just one big family that loves one another and is helping one another to walk with Jesus. Next, this one's going to be way outside of your comfort zone, but I'm trying to help you here. Hey, when can we get together? Can we have you guys in our home this week at some point? Can maybe you and I grab coffee this week? Hey, maybe we could take the kids to the park and let them play. That's the thing that girls do. Like if any guy ever asked another guy to go to the park and let the kids play, that's kind of weird. That's the thing, like ladies can do all this stuff that guys can't, right? Ladies can say like, hey, let's put the kids in the stroller and go for a walk. It's like, right on. Some guy says to another guy, hey, let's put the kids in the stroller and go for a walk. I don't go for walks with other dudes, but thanks for the ad. Thanks. But you know what hospitality does? Not only is it a biblical command, it says, I want to open my world up to you, and I want to invite you in. I want you to sit at my kitchen table where I sit with my family and share a meal with me. I want to sit down at one of my favorite coffee shops, and I want to share my favorite drink with you and hear about your life. You're inviting somebody into your life, and that makes a connection. If you've never had somebody in your home, I want to challenge you. Maybe in the next 60 days, have somebody in your home.
Amen.
You don't have to make it this big. Angela and I, we were broke as a joke when we were serving ministry in California. We had people over for popcorn and Kool-Aid. It's what we could afford. Like, I can't afford to feed a meal to six people. Like, I'm struggling to feed four, right? I can make popcorn and Kool-Aid. We had chips and salsa night one night. Man, I bought two bags of Costco tortilla chips and a big thing of salsa. All you Hispanic people don't hate on us. It was store-bought, probably something or other. But chips and salsa, right? Man, anybody can do that. It doesn't have to be extravagant. You're just saying, I care enough about you to invite you into my life. Finally, this is going to be weird for some of you, but I'm going to try to help you. I just want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. I talked with the guys at men's conference about this, and we need to normalize telling other brothers in Christ that we love them. That's a commandment. And for some people, it's kind of weird, but you need to do it anyways. You know why? Because here's what Jesus says. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, you love one for another. Can you imagine saying like, I love my wife, I just don't tell her. She knows. That wouldn't be very meaningful. And again, if this is not what you're used to, it's going to be weird for a minute, but just settle into the weirdness until it's not weird anymore. So man by the name of Kaz, I shared a little bit of his story with our guys at the men's conference, and Kaz had come to church with his wife and his kids. His wife was the spiritual leader of his family. Things are backwards. But he came, tagged along, because he knew it was good for him, good for his family, and good for his kids. And so he came. And the first week that Kaz was there, I introduced myself to him, talked to him for a little bit. And before they left, I'm standing on the sidewalk, and I said, Kaz, how can I pray for you this week? And he looked at me and like kind of cocked his head to the side and he goes, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Well, I'm going to pray for you and your wife this week what can I pray about specifically? He goes, whatever you feel led to pray about. Okay, sounds great. I'm just going to pray for you this week that God will help you be a good dad and a good husband and help you walk with Jesus. He's like, okay, thanks. So they come back the next week. They're leaving. I said, Kaz, how was your week? He's like, oh, it was great, Pastor. You know, getting settled in at my new job, this, that, and the other. And I said, I prayed for you and your family every day this week. He said, thanks. And I said, I'm going to do it again this week. I'm going to pray for you and your family again. And I love you and I hope you have a great week. And he like visibly like tensed up and straightened up. And he goes, thank you. And you can tell visibly uncomfortable, right? I always love subtitles in movies that say visibly uncomfortable, right? It was like one of those moments. And he left and he kept coming for months. By like month three, I said, hey, Kaz, I love you and I hope you have a great week. And he says, thanks for saying that, Pastor. I love you too. He goes, is that weird? No, it's not weird at all. You know what he said to me? I don't know that my own dad's ever told me that he loved me before. So it's a little bit hard to receive. Kaz, this is what we do in the body of Christ. He goes, I get it now. It's just hard. You know the cool thing? They were with our church for almost 7 years. By the time that he left, he and his wife were, he got things flipped around and discipled him. He was one of the leaders in our children's ministry. And at Vacation Bible School, the Friday night of VBS, he gets up on the platform. He goes, kids, I am so glad that you're here this week. I've been praying for each and every one of you by name this week. And I just want you to know that Mr. Kaz loves you guys. And like, I'm sitting there in the back, like about to jump out of the ceiling going like, yes. You know what took that guy who was tagging along on the coattails of his wife? You know what caused him to take back the spiritual leadership of his family? A whole lot of grace, a whole lot of patience, and a whole lot of love. Man, he's in the Air Force right now. He's a colonel in the Air Force, and he's in Utah right now. Man, discipling other people, serving in teen ministry, just loving on people. Somebody's going to walk in Canyon Ridge the next Sunday, and they're going to be carrying a very, very heavy load. Are you ready to receive that? Are you ready to hear their story? When you see first-time guests, do you have a, if you don't, I want to encourage you to develop one. Do you have a script that you run through with first-time guests? I do. Hey, what's your name? How'd you hear about the church? Do you live, are you originally from San Diego? What brought you to San Diego? What type of work do you do? Did you grow up in church? How can I pray for you this week? And I got a script that I run through. Can you imagine if like six or seven people did that to every first-time guest? Like they walk out being like, whoa, that's like the friendliest church in America. Like I feel, I'm going to say this and I'm done. Every person wants to feel loved and validated. Everyone. Have you been to churches before where you felt invisible? You just went in, sat down, you left. Nobody spoke to you. Nobody said anything. We went to a church in Tennessee on vacation one time. And I was dressed in a polo and khakis. We were on vacation and a pair of tennis shoes. And we're walking in from the parking lot and people look at us and then they look away. And like, I'm just like, hey, morning, like that. And people are like. We get to the front door of the church, and there's a guy standing there with his hand on the door like he's getting ready to open the door, and he's talking with another guy over there, and I'm standing at the door waiting. I can't open the door because he has the door handle on his hand. He doesn't see me because he's talking to somebody. And I say, hey, morning, guys. And he looks at me and goes, morning, and turns back to the guy he's talking to. I was just like, am I allowed to go in, or like you guarding the door, or... And somebody else walks up and he opens the door for them and they walk in past them. I was like, okay, that was weird, right? We get in the lobby and we're waiting for the service to start. Nobody talks to us. We find a seat. Nobody talks to us. Hey, greeting time. Turn around and greet your neighbor. This is the uncomfortable part of the service for me. I'm going to step outside myself. And I turn around and there's a guy two rows behind me. I turn around and look at him. We make eye contact. He looks down and turns around. And I'm thinking to myself, is it what I'm wearing? Like, Should I have not worn a polo to church? And like, mind you, I'm a Christian. I've been walking with Jesus for decades, and I feel highly uncomfortable in this environment, and I don't feel like they want me here. That happens at every single week in America in churches across the nation. Let it never be so at Canyon Ridge.
Thank you for listening. Hear more messages anytime at canyonridgebaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, please join us for a service. We meet on Sundays at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 o'clock p.m. We look forward to seeing you.